We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. This is the most powerful hour of my day, y'all.
It's a great day.
It is, isn't it?
It's a great day.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can put it in the comments and you can send it in a private message. We'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church located at New Liberty, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Today is Thursday. Pastor Dwight Shepherd is not in the building. However, we do have a word from him through the Truth broadcast. Stay tuned after Hour of Power. We will shut down the iPad, reset it up, and bring you a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you are tuned in. I love you, Lord.
She's getting it all.
I think I covered it all.
You think you got it all?
I think so.
It is so good to be here today. He is a great God. I love this house. There's so many things that are going on, but let's open in a word of prayer and get going today.
You.
Father God, we love you. God, we just ask you now that you would just wrap us up in your wings and cover us, oh God, so that we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we can see and feel the power of your ever grateful presence in our life. Lord, we just ask that you would touch us and move us today. Lord, what's really strong in my heart so often, God, I pray that you'll move us from where we are to where you want us to be. In the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen, amen.
Amen, amen. I like your title. Supernatural
you
Life,
know the,
Part 2.
The last time I was in here, we did Supernatural Life when we did Part 1, and we talked about faith is required. If you want to have a supernatural life, you got to have faith, period, bottom line. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you're not going to see things. But I felt like in remembering that, referring back to that, I said, you know what? I didn't finish. There is a part two to this thing. So I want to just first of all say thank you so much for the opportunity to speak God's word on an open platform like this. Hopefully it travels around the world and it can go where it needs to go. I am so humbled and grateful that I get the opportunity to preach God's word. And I mean that. But today, as I look at this again, the supernatural life, if we really want a supernatural life, number one, it requires faith. But two, we have to have cooperation with other believers as well. There's got to be a cooperation together. You do not stand alone. And you can think about this in several different levels, if you would, please. Think about it like this. You've got to have cooperation, first of all, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to have faith in them. Got it. But now you got it. You've got to have the cooperation with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You got to have these in your life to make this work. But it doesn't always lean just on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They should be in your life. That should be a given. That should be a walk around. But I want to talk a little bit about having cooperation with others around you, too. We got to have people of like precious faith that help us. We need mentors. We need leaders. We need teachers. We need rabbis. We need people that can help lift us up and encourage us. We need professionals that have been through this before and been able to come out of it. We need people that can share with us a testimony that says, you know what? I can't walk on water, but I've walked through that door. And, you know, we got to have that. We got to have that friendship, that camaraderie. But let me first of all back up and tell you what supernatural really means to me. When I talk about a supernatural life, to be supernatural life in us, we've got to realize, first of all, that everything about God is supernatural. There is no natural ability to God. God is supernatural. The whole creation of earth, supernatural. The birth of Jesus Christ, supernatural. God is beyond all natural time, space, and wisdom. When you have faith in God and you put God first, it's supernatural. So if you want a supernatural life, then you've got to have God in your life. You got to have that cooperation with him. Secondly, let me put it to you this way. In today's society, we need the supernatural. And this is what I don't know if you understand what I'm saying about this, but there's so many people today have this, what we call the Thomas generation or the Thomas complex. If I see Jesus, then I'll believe in Jesus. Or if you can really prove that there was no other way that to get done except for the way that God did it, then maybe I'll believe in God and his miracles. And that's a generation that we live in, and it is just taught and pounded into us by society. But in order to have a supernatural life, you're going to have to get to the place to where you believe in the supernatural things of God. Only God can do this. Only God can work this. This is a God miracle. This is a God thing. This is God happened. And it can be from the simplest thing of just walking across a field and finding a $100 bill and knowing that you got a $99 payment that needs to be made, and God supplied you $100. You give the $99 to the bill. God gives you an extra dollar to go get a candy bar. I mean, that's a supernatural act of God, but a lot of people don't think it is. They think it's just by fluke that somebody lost it. But anyway, you got to believe it. You got to know it. And I know today, in the supernatural life, we've got to have a scripture that supports what we're thinking. We got to have God's word to support that. And that's what brings me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And when you read this scripture, so many people read it and it just goes right over their head. It never enters into their heart. They just think this is another word of Jesus, something he said that's impossible to ever take place. They're absolutely right. When it is impossible for this to take place, it's impossible for me to do it. It's impossible for you to do it, but it's not impossible for God to do it. That's when it becomes supernatural. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, two verses of scripture. It's the words of Jesus. This is where Jesus is teaching to his apostles and to a multitude of disciples that are sitting around. This wasn't just for the 12. He began to say this out. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, key phrase right there. You want something supernatural to happen in your life. You got to believe. You got to have faith. He believes in me. The works that I do, he will do also. You got to look at the supernatural works that Jesus Christ did. He caused the blinded eye to see. He caused the deafened ears to hear. He called the dumb talk to speak. This is the supernatural things of Jesus. And greater works than these he will do. For who? Those who are living that supernatural life. Because I go to my Father. We know that transaction had to take place. We know that Jesus had to ascend up into heaven. We know that Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for me and you. We know that. We believe that. We trust that. That's what causes the supernatural life. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I've got a little thought right here. Let me see if I can say this clearly. I just want this to rest in you for just a moment. And I heard it once said by a great preacher long time ago, 100 years ago or so. Think about when he said this. When he said this, he said, if Jesus Christ is the glory of God, then am I the glory of Jesus? If you live every day with that thought in your mind, we know according to the word, Jesus Christ is the glory of God. But it was because of Jesus Christ that I've been accepted into that family. I've been engrafted into that family. I've been moved into that family. So if Jesus is the glory of God, am I the glory of Jesus? I want to be. How do I make it? How do I reach to that place? How do I get to that point to where I can really be the glory of Jesus? I want to tell you today, it's living a supernatural life. That's the glory of Jesus. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. In the Greek form of that life more abundantly, It's a supernatural life. It's life beyond the natural. It's going to the next measure. Now, let me take you to another passage of Scripture today that I want to get to, that I want to try to explain to you. I really want to use it as my stepping stone of the message that I want to share with you. If we're going to have a supernatural life, first of all, part one by faith, then part two is the corporation of all of it together. How do we pull it all together? There's a passage of Scripture that Jesus was speaking one day, and there was an event that took place. And there's a little nugget in the middle of this event that so often we have a tendency to just read right past it. We just blow past it. We miss it. I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation, so it's a little different than your King James Version. But I want to do this so that you hear the Word of God, because when you hear the Word of God, faith comes into your heart. So I want you to get this. It's in the Gospel of Mark. It's the second chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 2. It's a passage that is 12 verses long, so I'm gonna read quite a bit of it to you. I just want you to hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word and let faith arise. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, that's the part that is so often overran, seeing their faith, not the man on the cot's faith, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, because of their faith, Jesus spoke to the paralyzed man, and he said, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Then becomes the controversy. I love it. Here's where it happens. But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." I love the King James Version where it says, "We have seen strange things today." That's a message of its own, just seeing strange things. But what my point is I want to go back to that. When he saw their faith, it tells us here four men carried a paralyzed man up on the roof. Four men dug through the roof. Four men lowered this paralyzed man down into the presence of Jesus. And I get it. I don't want to belittle any of that. What an incredible, miraculous, supernatural event takes place. Jesus speaks a few words, and this paralyzed man from life rises up and begins to walk away. I get that. That is an incredible story. But would you take just a moment with me today to focus on the four men that brought him? Because this walk of Christianity takes a corporation. We need friends. We need people that can help us get past from where we are to where he wants us to be. I have changed so much in my heart and in my life when I finally learned that Jesus doesn't want me to stay put where I'm at. It doesn't mean that I'm paralyzed. He just doesn't want me to stay here. He's got something better for me. If I just keep moving, if I just keep going, if I just keep digging, if I just keep getting into the right place to where I need to be. Now, before I really get into the message, I want to share with you these three things that never change. This is the gospel truth. They will never change. And this is the key, number one key element to living a supernatural life. The first thing you got to realize is this. You can write it down. This is the same across the board to every person that can hear my voice today. People will always have problems. People will always have problems. And those problems need a supernatural answer. We will always have problems in our life that require a supernatural answer. No matter who you are, where you are, what's going on. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a saint. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner or a pew setter. It doesn't matter if you're a pew hopper, a church hopper, whatever. It doesn't matter. You will always have these problems. Number one, sin. Sin requires a supernatural answer. Sickness requires a supernatural answer. There are sicknesses today that you could take an aspirin for, a headache, that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a sickness that requires a supernatural answer. The doctors come in and say there's no more hope. There's no more answer. There's nothing short of a miracle from God for this to work. And they just say it so quickly, and I'm going, how powerful is that? Finally, I get to see God work because he's the only answer. It requires a supernatural answer. I'm going to use this word. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Bondage requires a supernatural answer. Bondage. We every people have a problem. There are so many people today that are bound by the sin sickness of this society. They're bound by addictions. And you can throw in the drugs and the tobacco and the alcohol and all that on there. It's easy to get into. But there are people bound with anger, bound with bitterness, bound with frustration, bound with fear. There's just so much that's out there that people are bound by. It requires a supernatural answer from God. You want to break fear out of your life? It requires God. You will never be able to do it by yourself. There is not, I praise the Lord for Christian counselors today. They are so needed. They're a part of this corporation that comes in and helps us break those remedies. But they can give you all the guidelines, but until you apply the guidelines, it'll never work. And God's got to be in there. And I even put broken relationships in there because I have heard so much in the past several months. I will never speak to them again. You have no idea what they did to me. Only God can heal that kind of broken relationship. Let me go to the second one, okay? Here's the second thing. There will always be crowds that keep us from Jesus. There will always be crowds that keep us from the supernatural. There will always be a crowd that will hinder you from pressing into where God wants you to be. Now, I've said it so many different ways. Write it the way that you want to write it, any way that you want to. But this is a truth. This truth that will never, ever change. And I right here is where I want to interject and tell you that just because you solve your problem of not being able to reach the supernatural, it doesn't mean that's the end of it. There will always be other problems. There will always be crowds that keep you away from the supernatural. When you're being hindered in getting into the presence of Jesus, let there be a light bulb go off above your head that says, I know what's happening. The harder it is because the devil doesn't want you to get there. The devil doesn't want you to forgive. The devil doesn't want you to face the truth. He certainly doesn't want you to know the truth. He's going to always hinder you. And the more stuff that he can put in your life, the more busyness he can put into your life, this is what it does. It's a crowd of busyness. I want you to take that word busy, B-U-S-Y. It's just a burden under Satan's yoke, okay? That's all busyness is, a burden under Satan's yoke. Do not let Satan get you so busy that you can't see the potential of God's great supernatural life. We need to cooperate together. When you get so busy, that's when you need to start relying on friends. I need you to take care of something. I need you to help me. I need you to come by. I need you to do this. I need you. And if they say no, say, okay, no problem. Call somebody else. Don't give up. Get out of that busy crowd, the crowd of tradition. There's always a tradition that says, we ain't never done it this way before. Well, I ain't never seen that happen like that. This is back to that Thomas generation. I don't know. We've never seen that work. I don't know if we can do that or not. Get past that tradition. It'll crowd you out of the presence of God to where you sit at the back and just go, eh, we can't get there. Yes, you can. Find a way, and I'll get there. Listen, here's the third thing. It never changes. It's always there. And once you get through with one, it'll happen again. Once you get past one crowd, there's going to be another crowd. Once you see this miracle, incredible, but that one miracle is not the only miracle for your life. Live a supernatural life where miracles happen day after day after day. But you got to get past the problem. You got to get past the crowd. Here's the third one. There will always be barriers that must be broken through. they had to break through the roof. I'll get there in a few minutes, but there's always barriers. You'll get to a point to where you say, I can't go any further. Maybe you've even said in times past, I feel like my prayers aren't going past the roof of this house. My prayers aren't getting past the ceiling of this house. You're right. You're absolutely right. You are correct. But that's not the end of it. Break through that ceiling. Break through that roof. Break through. Get through. It's old terminology. Granny used to use it all the time. My mama used to pound it on my head. Son, you just need to pray through. You ever heard it? You ever known it? You know, and I hope people that are listening to me out there go, yep, you need to pray through. Sometimes you will get to a place to where your little 15-minute prayer time in the morning ain't working. It ain't working. It ain't going through. Daniel said that there was a host of angels that were holding back the prayers of Daniel before they reached God. And everybody likes to look at that and say, look, this host of demons were holding Daniel's prayers back so they couldn't get through. The victory point of that is we have fighting angels on the other side that are penetrating too. Come on, look at the victory side of this thing. Well, our prayers will go through. Just keep praying. Just keep going. Just keep getting them through there. The barriers will always have to be. In the story, we're going to find out there was a barrier of unbelief. The people that could not believe it. They just didn't think this was true. Is this blaspheming? This can't be happening. The barrier of pride, self-sufficiency. Oh, no, we're better than that. I don't want people to see what I'm about to do. And above all, as it's already been mentioned, the barrier of fear. You got to get past the fear of what everybody else is thinking and get back to the place of I'm touching him no matter what. I'm getting to him no matter what. So those three elements are always there. But I want you to realize today, there's so often we are the wounded person on the mat. We're the ones that's been paralyzed. And oh my goodness, that may be part three. But here we go. There are so many people that have been paralyzed by all the sin sickness around this world. They get so trapped in the sin sickness of society that they think that they're the doormat that this life is just wiping its muddy feet on. And that's not who God wants you to be. That's not who Jesus pulled you out to be. There is so much more for you. You've got to face it. You got to have it. You got to know life is hard and there are troubles. There are problems, but Jesus is the answer to that problem. And it's supernatural effects that'll take place. There are times that we've just got to say, I'm being so busy. I'm being crowded out by everything. But Jesus is the answer to that. He wants to pull you out and speak to you personally. I love it in the King James when he spoke to the paralyzed man. He said, I say to you. He makes it personal. You need a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And if you're not walking with a personal encounter of Jesus Christ, then you're not a part of the corporation. You're just an individual solo Christian out there that's trying to make it on your own. And listen, that's where that self-arrogance comes in when you say, nah, I got this. No, you don't. You need a helper. And then that barrier that we've always got to break through. If you want a supernatural life, then we got to have corporation. We got to have what it takes, okay? That's where we are. Now check this out. I apologize for touching my nose, but it's itching like crazy. It's today's allergies that are just moving on. I apologize. I'm good. Here we go. Here we are. All right. Ready? She got that out. She wants to. Look at this. The four men in this story represent four key elements of experiencing a supernatural life. Now, I don't know why it was so specific that in the story we only have four men carrying this mat. In the day and time back there, I look through culture. I look through different events. Did they have to have four men carrying? Is that the most logical way? If he's paralyzed, how much weight does he have? Maybe he was skin and bones. Maybe he only weighed 60 pounds. Maybe he weighed 70 pounds. Maybe he weighed 120 pounds. Maybe he weighed 160 pounds. We have no idea how much this man weighed. All we know is he's paralyzed. He's on a mat. He cannot get to Jesus by himself. The story tells us that four men came, all right? So let's take this on, and here we go. And this is the second session of this part two. If you really want a supernatural life, you need cooperation with someone who has a vision. Man number one was a man of vision, and this is what I mean by this, and this is how I explain this. First of all, you need to understand Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We've got to have a vision. You got to see where you got to go to. You got to see what is better ahead of you. If you're only looking behind you, then you're only looking at the things that you failed at. You have got to look forward of the future. You got to look forward with a vision that says, I want to be farther along than where I'm at. I want to be where God wants me to be, not just where I want to be. I know that there's so many people today that are so submerged in their fear, they're trapped in their comfort zone. Nope, I like where I'm at. I like what I do. I'm okay with God. I'm saved from my sin. I believe in him. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. Hey, listen, praise God. Thank you. I'm glad that you're there. But if you have reached the point to where you say, I'm good right here, then you are missing out on what Jesus has for you. There's so much more. And listen, I'm not talking about over and abundantly. He's not going to put you out there in a place to where you're so uncomfortable that you're going to freak out and break down and then crater and never walk with him again. He's not going to do that. But he's going to give you a supernatural testimony. He's going to give you a supernatural walk. He's going to give you something that's out there that you have, that you've always thought was impossible to reach or do. It's the supernatural thing that God can do. It's a no vision without vision. When you don't see the future, when you don't see the next step, then you're just dying in where you're at. And it doesn't matter how old you are. The more I look at this, the more I research this, the Bible tells us, do not let man despise your youth. Now, maybe there's a teenager listening to me out there today. I don't know. Or maybe it's going to reverse to a teen. I don't know. But don't let man despise your youth just because you're a teenager. Don't put it down. Did you know there's six Bibles in the book? There's six books in the Bible that were written by a young person under the age of 20. And we don't think about that. And we're thinking these are the prominent things that God wants us to know and understand. Just because we're young doesn't mean that we need to be despised. God wants to use you. There have been more revivals started out of kids that have come back into the sanctuary and said, I want more of God. Wow, how powerful is that? But don't let it stop at that. Let me turn the page and say to this, woo, this is either you're going to be offended or you're going to laugh at it, one way or the other. It doesn't matter how old you are. I don't care if you're 99 years old. You got a testimony for the glory of God. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're 99 years old, you're not done. This is my old favorite saying. I love to say it. I even say it several times in the congregation. Listen to me. If you're not dead, you're not done. How dare you sit down on the pew and say, well, it's time for the young people to take over. You're not through yet. You're still breathing and you're still living. And we need your prayers and we need your remembrance and we need your thought. You've seen more of the glory of God than we've ever read about the glory of God. If you're not dead, you're not done. Get up and do something for the kingdom of God. We're not through here. But if you don't have a vision, you're dying already. And I don't want that to happen. This first man, if you can think about it, he picked up that cot. He got the other three around him, and he said, come on, guys, let's take him to Jesus. The other three were like, there's no way in there. Well, let's get him even closer than what we are right now. Maybe Jesus will walk out and see him. But it doesn't matter. I've got a vision. We've got to get closer to Jesus. The vision sees the possibilities. It doesn't always see the answer, but it sees the possibilities. There are so many people today that get stuck on, no, I can see what's going to happen, and the crowd's going to get in the way. I can see what's going to happen, and there's no way for us to get there. But they don't see the possibilities. A vision sees the possibilities. It might be. How many times in the Old Testament do we read where it says it? And let's see, the battle is overtaking us. The battle is bad, but it could be maybe that God will relent and change his mind and give us victory through this battle. Now, if you're a reader of the Bible and you read the Old Testament, you know I'm telling you the truth. How many times did it say that maybe God will change his mind and bless us anyway? Hey, there's a possibility there. Then don't stop. There's always a possibility. Yeah, but I just don't see how God can make it happen. Check this out. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God, who gives life, I love to just put in there, I know I'm not supposed to change the scripture, I get that, I don't do it, this is just Kevin's version, okay, this is the true KV version, listen to this, he says, but God gives supernatural life to the dead and calls those things that are not as though they were. We know that. We love that scripture. Then if we're going to quote it, then why don't we believe it and why don't we act on it? Why do we sit back and say, no, I really can't have all that God has? You want a supernatural life? Then get in corporation with God's word. God's word tells us that I can have a vision and I'm going forward. God's word tells me that even though I don't see it in the future, God puts those things in place that never even existed to start with. That's the God that we believe in. The first step in your journey to experiencing a supernatural life is having the vision of God doing an impossible work for you. The first man, he could see that we had to get there. The first man could see the possibilities if we could just get this man in there. I need somebody that's going to help me and push me forward. We all need somebody that says, it's not over. The best is yet to come. It's not over. You're relying on something that is just natural right here on this earth. You're relying on a natural high. You're relying on something you can grow to get you high. You're relying on something that you can squeeze, as in grapes and wine. You know, you're relying on something that you can squeeze to get you high on God. No, look for the supernatural. Look for the supernatural. God has something so incredibly planned for your life. But if you give up, you're dead. But if you don't give up and see the future, God's got something special for you. All right? This would be a really good time for me to pause.